Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, St. John's Hoxton. How great it is to be back. Thank you. Not strong enough. I can read down. That's fine. As we begin this sermon on prayer, should we pray? That's right. Father God, may the words I speak be from you. May you teach us how to pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, as Louise said, I was an intern here at St. John's Hoxton, and it is a real privilege to be back here to see all those lovely welcoming faces. And if you don't know me, that's all good. My name is Will, as I've said already. Great. And my friend's also called Will at the back. But I thought, I was right back to talk on characteristics of effective prayer and the foundation of prayer. So be excited because it's going to be a good one, hopefully. Anyway, so to start, one of the people I always look to when looking in prayer, after Jesus, that is the wonderful Pete Gregg, who was the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement, a man who's prayed many times in his life. And his book, How to Pray, which is a very great book, actually. I really recommend it. And I'll happily share the title with you again after the service, if you'd like. He says this on prayer, which I thought was quite helpful. Our English word prayer comes from the Latin word precarious. We pray because life is precarious, uncertain, and risky. But we also pray because life is marvelous, full of wonder and beauty. And we pray because we find ourselves in need of many things. Yet we always have the simplest words at our disposal, such as please, thank you, wow, and help. Think for a moment, this is me speaking now, of all the times you've prayed in your life. Maybe just the simple prayers like please God, help God, thank you God, wow God, and please help God. I'm sure for many of you, that number is more than you could ever fathom. Prayer is, as Canadian psychologist David G. Benner describes it, as the soul's native language. It is a natural response. For Christians, for people of our religions, people who have no faith at all, we always find ourselves praying to something bigger than ourselves, something greater. This is this inherent need in our soul to speak out to something or someone. It is our soul's calling to its creator. And like I said, we do this in our times of wow and thankfulness and just begging for help. It is our natural instinct or response to pray to God. To be human is to pray. So how can we pray effectively in a way that aligns with our natural response to pray? Prayer is at the center of our relationship with God. It is the key way in which we communicate with him. This is important, as this idea that as humans, as our natural response is to pray, comes from the way we are created. We are created by God, the triune God, the Trinity, the most perfect relationship we could ever fathom. Actually, we can't fathom how perfect it is, but between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're made in God's image. We were made for relationship. So for prayer as our natural response, is to respond into this relationship to communicate. Just like in any earthly relationship, communication is essential for a strong relationship with God and with others. Prayer is crucial in the way in which you communicate with God. Prayer is not a wish list. I will say that. It's not a wish list. We don't use God as a genie to grant our every desire, though it can be sometimes tempting to think of it that way. Rather, prayer is a vital aspect of our relationship with God, which is built on trust and love and dependence. And similar to our relationship with our parents, our close friends, or partners, doing life together includes giving thanks, expressing love, asking for guidance, and depending on each other. In the same way, we talk to God through prayer, giving thanks for his blessings, expressing our love for him, asking for guidance, and depending on him for our needs. Through prayer, we deepen our relationship with God. And through this, we grow in our understanding of him and his will for our lives. This is the foundation of prayer, relationship. Some of us struggle with this. We feel like we've let God down. We feel ashamed to come back to him straight away, thinking, oh, You know, I've sinned. I don't want to come back because I have to start all over again. It's going to be a lot of effort. But in fact, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he made a way so we can pray. We can come clean before God. There's no starting again. We just come back to him. And that's fantastic. That's great news. So the foundation of prayer is relationship. Well, I just said that. But yeah, this is good news that we can come forgiven as people of God, the chosen people to have relationship. So far to summarize, just to keep me on track and to keep us all on track, prayer is a natural human response. Great. The foundation of prayer is built on relationship we were created to be in and to have. And this relationship is made possible through the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Great. And the reading we had this morning from James enforces this. James, for those who didn't know, is Jesus's brother. So if anyone knew while writing this what it was like to have a relationship with Jesus, he was probably one of the main people. And he says through this, as he knew Jesus, he knew that Jesus was for him and not against him when he prayed. And he knew that he was loved as we are loved by Jesus, and that Jesus wants to have a relationship with him and with us. And through this, James teaches that through faithful prayer to God, the sick can be healed and we can pray for other things. Things to us that seem impossible. At this point, you may be thinking, well, great, praying is natural and God can do amazing things through prayer. But where do I start? Or just as the disciples of Jesus asked, Lord, how do I pray? Teach us how to pray. Well, this prayer I'm about to share shows the foundation and structure of the characteristics of effective prayer and is a prayer learned from Jesus himself. This prayer is the greatest prayer in all of history, and it was the center of the disciples' prayers. The disciples, these young men, would go on to have extraordinary prayer lives. They would intercede and pray until buildings physically shook. They would pray and people will be sprung out of prison. People who are wrongfully imprisoned, that is. And their very shadows, their pieces of clothing, would carry the healing presence of God. And in their final moments, they would find grace and forgiveness of the very ones killing them. And this greatest prayer that I mentioned was at the center of their prayer lives. And the prayer goes like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I'm sure you've heard that all before. In fact, we sung that earlier today. But I want to break it down line by line to highlight these characteristics of effective prayer. To begin, our Father in heaven, relationship. I might have mentioned it already, but acknowledges our intimate relationship with the Father as a parent who has our best interests at heart, but who loves us and has authority and wants to bless his children. He hears and responds to his children, those who call out to him as Father. First point, relationship. Second, hallowed be your name. What does hallow really mean? It means that we acknowledge God's name, recognizing its holiness and greatness. Effective prayer involves approaching God with reverence, awe, and adoration, acknowledging his sovereignty and worthiness to be praised. He is worthy to be praised indeed. He is a great God. Number three, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. This line is a reminder to ourselves to align ourselves to the will of God. We pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. It's about surrendering our own desires to God's. This can be hard, especially when you want something really bad, but God closes that door. But his will and his love for us, he wants the best for us. So his will is ultimately going to benefit us in ways we don't fully understand. But God will make a way. He is for you and not against you. He has not forsaken us. So we pray to align our will with his. Number four, give us today our daily bread. Here we acknowledge our dependence on God for our daily needs. It's about trusting in his provision, recognizing his faithfulness, effective prayer. Recognizing his faithfulness, effective prayer involves bringing our needs before God with gratitude and trust, knowing that he takes care of us. Leading on from the previous point, God loves to give gifts to those who love him. We cannot outgive God. He gives and provides in abundance. He loves to give in abundance. I'm thinking of time in John, I think it's another book as well, where he feeds 5,000 people using several loads of fish and bread. And even after he's fed all those people, there's an abundance of food left over. God loves to give in all abundance to those who call out to him. He finds so much joy in it. Number five, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In this part, we ask for forgiveness of our own wrongdoings and also seek the strength to forgive others. We recognize our own shortcomings and the importance of extending forgiveness to others. Effective prayer involves a genuine confession of sins and a willingness to forgive. Number six, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is when we ask God to guide us away from temptation and protect us from evil. We are acknowledging the vulnerability and the presence of spiritual battles in our lives and in the world. An effective prayer involves seeking God's guidance, strength, and protection in the face of trials and temptation. Now, finally, number seven, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. This is where you recognize God has authority. He is above everything. His name rules. Effective prayer acknowledges this and submits to God's ultimate rule, to his will. The characteristics of effective prayer we can take away. Effective prayer is built on a relationship. Effective prayer involves worship and thanks for God for who he is. Effective prayer involves us aligning our will with his will. Effective prayer also involves trusting and asking for provision. Effective prayer requires to come asking for forgiveness, knowing we are forgiven, and helps forgive others. Just imagine my other fingers are going up. Didn't think this through. And finally, effective prayer, number seven, requires us to recognize God has all the authority. So when we come in these effective prayer, God reigns over all. And it feels like a lot to remember, like 7 points. Don't worry, this prayer I just said is literally everywhere. It's in the hymns we sing, it's in the services we do. So when we pray this prayer, we can use these as foundations and structures in our prayer lives. And it's so helpful, and I promise you it will help and strengthen you in your prayer. And for a lot of us, we prayed this prayer thousands of times. And sometimes it can feel like we're just saying the words, not really understanding what they're meaning. We're just kind of going through the motions. If that feels like it could be you, don't worry. It's a good thing you know it so well. It becomes our natural response, our instinct to things. We can just pray it. We can just, when life hits us hard and we're going through things, we don't even know what to pray. We can say this Lord's Prayer knowing we're hitting all the right points and doing the exact prayer Jesus himself taught us how to pray. It is a great tool in your arsenal. And for some, they've prayed many times. And feels like, what's the point of prayer? Is it even working? Is it worth doing? It is worth doing. And that lie that I just said of it not being worth it, that's the enemy would love you to believe that. He would love you to think your prayers aren't worth anything. But in fact, they're worth so much. And God listens and he cares and he loves to provide and hear his children. Now, Jesus says something on the persistent prayer, and I'm going to say it now in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God or cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with the constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to those chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant just to them quickly. When we pray continually, we're not praying to an unjust God, but rather a God who is justice embodied. And he doesn't ignore our prayers, but instead answers them according to his will and perfect judgment. And one of the most important characteristics of effective prayer in this is one we haven't really got much involvement in. It's the effective prayer on the divine side through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I've mentioned already, through Jesus, we are able to come freely and pray to God, the creator of the universe, able to come to him and pray for anything, and he will listen to us. It's through this relationship we can know God intimately, and our prayers will be answered. And what I found really moving, actually, is Paul's letter to the Romans. He has to say this on the Holy Spirit and prayer. In verse 26 of chapter 8, he says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all our hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. In these verses, the Apostle Paul explains that sometimes we may not know exactly what we should pray for, or even in times where we struggle to even utter words because the pain is so bad, or the grief is so bad. We're doing the groaning within ourselves. We can't even utter the Lord's Prayer sometimes. It says, do not worry, because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is praying with us and for us to God the Father. Isn't that an amazing thought? I mean, I'm still trying to comprehend it. So when we pray our prayers, no, we're not doing it alone. Even sometimes we are, a room looks like we're alone. We do it alongside the Holy Spirit through the best channel or landline you could ever have, through Jesus Christ, straight to the Father, that we are listened to and we are not ignored. We are loved and not abandoned. So I really urge you, as we leave this place today, to remember the Lord's Prayer and all the effective characteristics it holds. I pray it becomes part of your firm foundation in your prayer life, I pray it becomes and continues to be in mind. And may you know your prayers have powers, or God has power through prayer to shake buildings, to heal the sick, and to make a way for you to have eternal life with God the Father. Should we pray as we finish? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, so we can have relationship with you. Thank you for teaching us the prayer of the Lord's Prayer. May it help and continue to guide us in all our prayer lives, Lord, helping us to look to you and remember our relationship with you and your worthiness to be prayed, your provision you have on our lives, knowing that we need forgiveness and help to forgive others, and to know that you are a God who has all authority on this earth and is bigger than anything we have been through. Lord, thank you that you intercede on our behalf. You pray with us. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done on our lives and in the earth, and our friends and family around us. Yes, Lord. We thank you for the gift that we're able to talk freely to you. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.